Although both President Bush and Democratic challenger John Kerry were at the dedication of the World War II Memorial in Washington yesterday, the politics of the presidential race stayed in the background. That was not the case earlier in the week. On Monday, Mr. Bush delivered an address that attempted to clarify the administration's plan for Iraq, and on Thursday, Kerry spoke in Seattle and outlined his broad foreign policy priorities. Kerry's quiet demeanor contrasted with a fiery speech given by former Vice President Al Gore on Wednesday that blasted the Bush administration's handling of the war in Iraq and called for the resignations of Defense Secretary Donald Rumsfeld and National Security Advisor Condoleezza Rice. Here to talk presidential politics is Doyle McManus, Washington Bureau Chief for the Los Angeles Times. Good morning. Welcome back, Doyle.
Good morning, Leanne.
So let's go back to the beginning of the week with the president's speech on Monday. Some critics said it just sort of repackaged current Iraq policy into a five-point plan. Did you hear anything new there?
Well, the critics are right in the sense that most of the president's speech was stay the course. It was reaffirming what we already knew was there. But there was a nuance in it if you wanted to read very closely, and that is that President Bush said his aim in Iraq over the next 2 years is to get to elections. Democracy may take a little longer. And this was, in a way, the first sign of the ratcheting back of those enormous ambitions that he went into Iraq with. And if you look at what's going on the ground, I think there you see, in fact, enormous changes going on in American policy. There's been a lurch toward pragmatism in Iraq. They're making deals with Muqtada al-Sadr, the militant Shia leader. They're turning over different parts of the country to local militias, something only a couple of months ago they said they would never do. The choice for the new prime minister, Iyad Alawi, is a man who opposed Ambassador Bremer, Jerry Bremer, the American representative there, on such things as dismantling the army. So a whole lot of principles that once had been part of American policy in Iraq are now a little wobbly. The president, in a sense, was trying to tell people that it's not a flip-flop like John Kerry.
Well, how difficult is it for John Kerry to deal with Iraq publicly, given the ongoing war and given his own vote to authorize that war?
Well, it's true that Kerry has stayed away from the same kind of detailed outline of what his policy in Iraq would be, of the kind that Democrats have been demanding of President Bush. And that is partly because he spent so much time earlier in the year grappling with a clear explanation of his policy. What we heard from John Kerry this week was a foreign policy exposition that was kind of paradoxically both vaguer and clearer than what he had done before, because he broadened it out. He talked about broad principles. He didn't get stuck in the here's my five-point plan. And I think it worked pretty well.
Al Gore made his Democratic audience happy with that blistering speech he gave on Wednesday. Now, is he saying what John Kerry can't?
He is. Al Gore is, in effect, playing the role that John Kerry's vice presidential nominee would play if he had been chosen. Now, some people have even speculated, and it's just for fun, that maybe Al Gore's putting his hat in the ring. That's not the case. But he called for resignations, Don Rumsfeld, Condoleezza Rice. He excoriated the Bush administration as incompetent. Well, that's pretty much exactly what John Kerry needs someone to do for him right now.
Attorney General John Ashcroft gave a terror warning on Wednesday that notably did not include Homeland Security Chief Tom Ridge. And Ridge later talked about the terror situation in less alarming terms than did Ashcroft. And on Friday, the two men issued a joint statement saying they are working together. So what's going on here?
Well, the White House will tell you what's going on here is a seamless, well-thought-out policy process. What's actually going on here, on one level, is a clash of ambitions. John Ashcroft and Tom Ridge both want better jobs in the second Bush administration. Tom Ridge and John Ashcroft both think they ought to run for president one day. Both of them like to get a little time in the spotlight. And in many ways, that's all John Ashcroft was doing. He took a briefing he was supposed to give, just showing seven faces on the FBI's Most Wanted, and turned it into a terror warning that wasn't actually his to give.
President Bush has a very busy month ahead of him, international month indeed, two European trips, an economic summit in Georgia, and those meetings will include French President Jacques Chirac, German Chancellor Gerhard Schroeder, both of whom have been very strong critics of Mr. Bush's Iraq policy. Now, normally, presidents enjoy these kinds of gatherings, but could this one be tough for the president?
Well, you're right, Leanne. Usually that kind of thing is a victory lap, but for a president who is battling the perception that his foreign policy is going down the tubes, he has to be saying to his schedulers, what were you thinking? This has really turned into an interesting challenge for the president. He has to show himself as Bush the diplomat, Bush the multilateralist. He has to rely on his foreign friends, Mr. Chirac and Mr. Schroeder, to be polite and even welcoming. And he has to hope a little bit that the demonstrations in Europe don't make the point that John Kerry and Al Gore might like to make out of this trip.
Doyle McManus is Washington Bureau Chief for the Los Angeles Times. Thanks for coming in on your Memorial Day weekend, Doyle.
Thank you, Leanne.